all of our kids and in the community want to just be normal people. Look how complicated relationships are for us. And yet to be disabled and have a sexual relationship is very complicated. So you have to use the worst case scenario when you're dealing with these government agencies. I was Mike's parent and caregiver while he lived at home, and it was destroying our relationship.
All right, hey guys, welcome back to the studio. Today we have a special guest, parent advocate Carly Murdy. Welcome to the studio, Carly.
Well, thank you for having me. And I have to say, I have loved you from the moment I met you many years ago.
Well, right back at you.
And you just have that spark, and I knew you were going places, and you kind of are getting there. You
got I appreciate there. That. Yeah. You're amazing, and we've been together a long time now. You were actually the first family that I started working with when I started my 24-hour in-home care.
Wow.
And I started working with your son, Mike.
Yeah.
DJ Mikester.
Yeah.
Yes.
That and was cool.
It's been such a journey, and we've been together the whole time. I'm going on 10 years in business with that
wow.
business.
Yeah, that is something.
It so it's good. A full circle moment to have
it
you
is.
Here in the studio.
Oh, it is. I love it. Yes. So thank you.
You were there from the conception of the logo and beyond.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
it's really an honor
just
to have you in
about
the studio.
It and
yes. Yeah. I'm so happy to have you here. And I'd love to share with other families and anybody that's looking for advice or any guidance that you might have to offer, because you're such a wealth of knowledge in all areas.
You know, sometimes I wish I could explain to people all the steps I've taken, all the different paths I've gone down to help my son, and hoping that it would help them, because I feel like when I help him, I'm helping everybody. I'm not one of them parents who just does, oh, I'm only working with my son, nobody else.
Right.
I work with many, many kids, all of his friends. And I know we call them kids, but look, my 99-year-old mother calls me you kids still.
Yes.
So
yeah,
always,
no, I get
it's not derogatory. It's just right. They're our kids. They're our children.
Yeah, even though they're 27, 28.
36 yeah. now, my
exactly.
kids.
Exactly. Yeah. Mike's 36, yes.
Yeah.
And but you've been doing this for years.
Yes.
You started as a pioneer and a trailblazer way back when
that's
people
right,
were
yeah.
just starting to look for self-determination
right.
services, and you've really been a pioneer in that mm-hmm. in that respect.
Right.
And I really respect your work and advocacy for
thank
all
you.
The parents
thank
that
you.
You've been working
yeah.
working with and providing supports for the kids.
Well, what happens is when they're in school still, that takes your whole life. So it's the school, it's the educational system, and it's not until your children age out or once they turn 18, and in Michigan, 26, they age out, that you realize, oh my God, I'm in this alone.
Yeah.
Because you don't have a support like you do with the education system. And even the government is really what kind of help.
Yeah.
Now, we're very fortunate in Michigan. Our laws for disabled are very good, and the structure is very good. Other places, not so much.
I was just
other
having
states.
This conversation the other day that uh-huh. we are in Oakland County, Michigan, and yeah. we are pretty blessed as
we
far
are.
As services go.
We are.
Even considering the cuts that we face on a regular
yeah.
basis,
yeah.
I travel to other states all over the world, and when I talk about the business and the platform that I have
mm-hmm.
with my nonprofit, Third Circle, they've never heard of these services.
Right, don't even know what it is.
Yeah.
And I've been fortunate because Mike was actually in another county. I had to move him to another county for a reason, and we brought him back. The services don't exist in another county. And a lot of people in Michigan don't know that Medicaid in Michigan is run by the county. So if you just switch counties, you start over. Social Security is statewide,
yeah.
but I had to start over, get him requalified, paperwork that I didn't think I needed anymore. In fact, I lost some of it. And you have to still get them requalified. And then when I brought him back, I had to do it again.
Yes.
So it's don't move counties unless it's permanent.
Yes.
I'll warn you on that one.
Exactly.
It is,
that's good advice.
A little bit harder. Yeah.
And not only have you worked with the families and the kids respectively, you've worked with a lot of the core provider agencies, and also you're heavily involved in the Special Olympics community also, as is Mike, your son.
We started that when Mike was 8 years old, they could start doing Special Olympics. So I started again in the school district, but once they age out, it's up to the parents. And believe me, every parent is kind of out there on their own. There's no group, there's no official thing. There's some, like, maybe some parent groups locally, but there's nothing that exists formally to help parents learn from each other and understand what each other's going through.
Yeah.
And even learning not to make the same mistakes. I mean, every one of us parents from Mike's school, we all were starting to make the same mistakes. So another parent and I decided, you know, this is dumb. Why are we doing this? Let's get together and talk. Let's figure out what we can do to help our kids as parents, because we can help the younger parents. We could see the younger kids coming up through the school system, and they didn't know what we were facing as we were aging out.
Yeah.
And it's scary and it's hard, and there's nobody out there helping.
No. And I've participated in several of the parent advocacy groups that you've put together. Mm. I've attended those meetings, and you always have an amazing turnout because people are looking for answers. Yeah,
right. The need is so great.
It's so great.
The need is so great. The thing is, though, when parents first find out or come, they want you to kind of solve all their problems, and we can't do that. They have to be part of the solution.
Right.
And so even when we started our community in Farmington Hills, again, parents just wanted to drop their kids off and they're done with it. And no, you still have to be part of it. I'm still at 36, Mike's 36, and I'm still doing a lot of daily and constant things for him, which I will be till I'm gone, because I'm his mother. So we're going to do it, but we do have to stay more involved.
And you faced it all, really. I mean, when I met you, Mike was living at home, and Mike was looking for self-determination services.
Yes.
And transportation has also been another hurdle for many folks. It was for Mike, too. And Mike was looking for transportation to get to and from. Mike's very independent. Mm-hmm. So he has his own job. He went to culinary school, and he got a job as a cook at a local establishment. And not only does he have that opportunity of employment, he also has his own micro business, which is a DJ.
He likes to DJ.
Yes.
He can barely read and write, but he can DJ on a computer.
Yes.
And his job is not that glamorous. He actually just works for a, what do you call them, catering company.
Yeah.
And like, he'll fill all the ketchup bottles, or he'll fill up the mayonnaise, you know, make all the condiments for the people.
Yes.
He can't do a cash register. He can't do pet fat. Can I give you one pet peeve? Is what the state did when they took away the tiered pay scale for our kids. One time, they could pay kids less that had disabilities than they would pay anybody else because they couldn't do the full job. And then somehow somebody decided, oh, that's derogatory, or it's discrimination. We have to pay them the same. So guess what happened? They all lost their jobs. So that's one reason that kicked me into the micro business area, is because now, like where Mike works, he does get paid full, but he can't do the full job. But I got him started there. He volunteered for 2 years at this workplace without pay.
For free.
Just so he could learn it.
Yes.
And I was willing to take him and do that. Now then they hired him, but he can't run a cash register. He can't deal with customers, but yet the owner is a friend and pays him and keeps him on because he is good at the things he does do. He washes dishes.
Mike's a very hard worker.
Yeah. He does stuff the ladies don't want to do at the catering company, and he does it all, the trash, the dishes, the hauling stuff. So, but again, it takes parents to do that. People think, oh, you were so lucky. You got Mike a good job. No, I worked for 2 years to get him that job. I made relationships. I built relationships.
Yep.
I took him. I volunteered. I said, Joe, please let him do this, and please let him try to do that. And he was nice enough to do that.
You're wonderful at relationship building, and we have that in common. And you're very passionate about that, and you're great at connecting with people.
So
any parent that's been able to have your advocacy and your guidance, they're so blessed to have you. It's amazing.
Thank you.
And you literally wrote the book on microbusiness.
I did write a book on microbusiness.
And Mike started his own business
yes.
as a DJ. And so we were talking earlier off camera about finances and how they're limited on funds and what they can bring in.
That's right. So even if they wanted to make money or get a job to have extra money, they're not allowed to by law. And the sad thing about it is, yes, our kids are disabled, but they're also classified in the government, and I know in Michigan, as indigent. So they're lumped together. Everything that happens with our kids financially is lumped into being indigent or being so much below the poverty level. So if they try to help themselves, or let's just say they want to make some money for Christmas presents, you get penalized if you make a little bit of money. But can I tell you about this cool website I know about?
Yes.
It's called, in Michigan, it's called MI, Michigan DB101. I think it stands for Doing Business 101. And you go to this website and you log in, you sign in, and it's anonymous. But it remembers you, but you have a code and everything. You don't put your name in. And you say what your Social Security income is. You tell it what your Medicaid income is. And then you can kind of do a bunch of different scenarios where if I had a job that made this much, how much could I make and not lose benefits? And if you are going to lose benefits, which that's okay to do if you make enough, then it tells you here's how much and here's what your pay down would be or your spend down would be. So it's really kind of a unique website if you get scared about, oh my gosh, is it going to make too much money?
Right.
Which again, we don't knock that. That's still good. But everybody has their gifts and disabilities, so he can't do it regularly like a lot of people could.
Right. And here it's the max is $2,000 for a bank account, right?
Right, for a bank account. That's on him.
And you can't own any assets.
Not that I know of. You can prepay your funeral.
That I know because I've had to do that for several folks over the course of 30 years.
Yeah, they'll let you prepay your funeral, but that's all you
get to do. Funeral expenses. When you have to do a spend down, that's what we would have to do. We'd have to do that burial, early burial planning. And do you know anything about the MyAble accounts?
I know a little bit about it, and a lot of people like it. And now you can put up to $100,000 in there, but here's what bothers me is if you have an MyAble account, you have to let people know about, like the government wants to know. So I have to tell the government I have this account. And I worry if something happens, they might start holding that against people.
Yeah.
And if I'm gone, if when I'm not here and Mike might have a little bit of money in account, then all of a sudden they'll cut his benefits or they take away his health care, which he has seizures and he needs his health care and he has caregivers. And we need that stuff still done.
Yeah.
But if I could, I would. I just can't right now.
And you touched on a really important fact there, too, about Mike, is that he has seizure disorders. And that plays into, while he's a very independent person, and he has at points throughout his life lived independently on his own with community living supports, meaning like a direct support professional would come in and just help Mike with his day-to-day operations and his his activities of daily living. But transportation was a huge hurdle with seizures too, because I remember when I was working with Mike, that was a big concern of his, getting into a car with an Uber driver or a transportation service that didn't have any type of training.
That's right.
In seizures or environmental emergencies. That gave Mike a lot of anxiety. Yeah.
And even taking a bus, people say, well, take a bus. First of all, they're not very convenient in Oakland County. And they wouldn't know what to do if he has a seizure. Everybody wants to get an ambulance, and you don't have to do that. Or they try to still put a spoon down his throat.
Yeah.
And you don't do that anymore.
No.
But people don't know that. So
exactly.
Transportation's hard for somebody with medical issues as well as a bit of a mental disability.
Which inspired my next business, which was Third Gear Transportation.
Oh, that's right.
And working with Mike. Mike really was the inspiration behind that, because not only was I working with Mike at that time, I was working with multiple families and multiple kids,
or you have a lot.
Adults, young adults, all in their 20s, all looking for the same thing. They wanted a friendship circle, they wanted a place of employment, and they wanted a social life. And so together, you were very much a part of that, networking that circle for Mike and the others that came into the mix. But transportation was huge, and that's what I was doing, was helping to facilitate,
get
everyone
around. I'm so glad
around.
To hear that, because it's still a big issue. Even though we have NOTA and WOTA, they think they're really helping you, but most of our kids can't schedule 3 days in advance.
Right.
But again, if it works, it works. It probably works for people who have a real steady schedule or something.
It's also very limited, too.
Yeah.
I know that. And
the
so
hours are,
while it can sometimes be affordable, it's not. It doesn't travel well, you know. It's very limited to it.
But still, how are you up for, like, can people contact you about getting
yep.
rides? Because even I'm not sure about how that works.
Yeah. Well, Mike's in a unique situation because he's receiving 24-hour in-home care with a personalized vehicle to his residence. So he gets around. But still, from time to time, like, even with that being said, you know how that goes.
Yeah.
So when the individuals are looking to place their loved ones in a 24-hour independent setting, in a residential setting, they're often splitting the bills three ways. So you're sharing your transportation, you're sharing your vehicle, and Mike shares his with his roommate. And so sometimes the vehicle isn't available. And so then Mike knows how to use public transportation, meaning like we have Third Gear Transportation, which he could book a ride if he wanted to, or Mike's in a unique situation where we have multiple vehicles within the company. So Mike has access to vehicles pretty much whenever he wants, being under Third Circle. So, but not everybody has that.
Mm-hmm.
So for other individuals who are receiving services and looking for transportation, they have to vet out transportation companies
right.
that can best suit their needs. And then you factor in the limited funds. You know, people are trying to get around and, you know, they're limited when they're using other, which it's a blessing to have those other entities. But like I said, they're limited in how far they'll travel and what time you can book.
Right, right.
Not all of them are 7 days a week. Some of them are only 5 days a week and from only business hours.
Yeah. No, it makes it hard.
Yeah. And then like for Mike, Mike had the job with the catering business and his hours were sometimes well into the evening.
Right.
So he needs a ride at
right. If they have night. If they have a wedding, he'll work till 10 at night.
Yes.
He'll work, you know, from 6 to 10 or something.
Yeah. So I want to dive into the micro business because okay. You literally wrote the book on
I
that.
I did. And I wrote a book on
again,
that.
Another pioneering effort of the amazing Carly Murdy. Would you walk Thank us you. Down that path?
Okay. Well, what we tried to do was there were so many young people like Mike who had high functioning. They like to call it high functioning, which I can tell you a whole bunch about that. But anyway, the drawbacks to that. But yeah. That's a nice thing. That wanted to do things with their time. And we found out with their health even, it's healthier if they have something to look forward to, if they have something to do, if they have a schedule that has more of a routine instead of just sleep and eat and walk around the house, you know, the house. So we started having micro businesses, and Mike does his DJ. Other people would make pillows. There was a lady who made pillows. There was a person who made ink pens, who made pens. People made a lot of crafty things to sell. And we thought, how can we get these products out there for people to sell? So I wrote a book on start to finish, how to decide if you want a micro business. And if you do want one, what are all the parts, components that go to that? And again, many of our people, our community, don't read or write very well, especially reading. So I wrote it at a level for more of a caregiver or a young adult. So it's basic, it's simple, it goes from A to Z, from marketing to doing bills to invoicing to making your product to getting results and then to filing with the county eventually if you decide it's a business. You have to take a switch at some point and decide, can I make money doing this business or is it more of a hobby business? And a hobby business is good because it's good for your health.
It gives them value and meaning, yes, purpose.
Yes,
yeah.
And you feel good. So you go and you sell your pillow for $10 and then it costs you $12 to make to buy the stuff for the next pillow.
Right.
So it's you don't win, but you win in the sense of your value, your self-worth, your esteem. Yeah. Self-esteem is great for people who can do this.
Absolutely. I think there was even a few folks that I've run into over the course of the years that were offering services like dry cleaning and running errands,
oh, yeah,
and such, and the caregivers would,
yeah,
drive for them.
So you can, and the book is actually divided into two things, whether you're going to do a service or a product, which,
yeah,
is helpful because they're different, use different techniques for some of them. So some people have a service, some people like pet sitting or walking a dog. We had a lady who walked dogs.
Yeah.
So she offered that service. So how do you do it if you have a service versus how do you do it if you make a product? Yeah. And Mike has a service. He plays music for people.
I love that. And you touched on another important piece there too when you said high functioning and the pluses and minuses of that. You want to touch on that
a little bit?
Oh, man,
I could tell you stories.
Yes.
Because everybody will say, again, there's a wide range of disabilities within our community.
Yes.
And everybody will say, oh, you're so lucky because Mike's so high functioning. Oh, my gosh. All the time, Mike has cried because he would say, Mom, why did God make me like this? Why do I have to be this way? So he understands that that something's wrong with him and it hurts him. But yet there's nothing he can do. I don't know the answer to that. How do I answer that? I say, God made you the way you are and you're perfect. No, I'm not. I can't do this. I can't do that. And then he always wanted to, all of our kids and in the community want to just be normal people. They want girlfriends, boyfriends. They want to get married someday. They want to, you know, they just want a normal life. Mike thinks it's so cool now that he's over 18. He's 36 that he can have a beer now.
Yes.
And doesn't he, it's so funny because he doesn't even really like it.
Yeah.
He never finishes it, but he wants to be one of the guys and he wants to be able to go say, man, I got smashed last night and I had to warn him. I say, Mike, don't say that to people.
Yeah. Because they get the wrong idea.
Yes. Because they'll think he's an alcoholic.
Yes.
But to him, he's just being one of the guys.
Yes.
Yep. And don't even get into sex.
Right.
Because, oh my gosh.
Well, Mike is a serial dater, so I know this about Mike. Mike's yes, always got yes. a lady friend.
And Mike has a vasectomy, by the way.
Yes.
So, but there are stories that, like, other parents don't have to go through, because look how complicated relationships are for us.
Yes,
right. And yet to be disabled and have a sexual relationship is very complicated. They don't understand. Stuff that I never thought I'd ever have to talk to anybody about.
You could literally write the book on that, too, because you've been through that all, too.
Yes,
and I've been part of that as well.
Hilarious.
Yes. Yeah. But I think you make a good point about high functioning versus low functioning, because that also plays into services. Mm-hmm. And when you have a representative, say from the state or the county, coming to interview you one on one with your son or your daughter, some parents fall down the rabbit hole of celebrating their child's gifts and making them, you know, because the higher functioning, lower functioning terms are out there. And so people don't often want their kid considered low functioning.
Yeah.
But they don't see them that way. But how does that play into, I know you've experienced it when you're mm-hmm. sitting there yeah. with the worker and your child's in front of you.
It's tough.
Yeah.
And again, the mindset, it's getting better now, but it's an old style mindset that thinks they don't even understand what we're saying. We can say anything we want in front of them. They're impaired. They don't understand anything. They understand it all. And it hurts Mike when I have to stand in front of or sit with a Social Security worker and explain the things he can't do. Right. And I have to say, yes, but he can't make that decision. He thinks he can't even tell you he's sick. I went round and round about how his neck hurt. My neck hurts, my neck hurts. Mike, there's nothing wrong with your neck. I'm feeling it. Weeks. My neck hurts, my neck hurts. Finally, he got so mad, I'm feeling it. He said, no, it's the inside of my neck that hurts. I mean, nobody would know that he had strep throat and right. I'm feeling the outside of his neck.
Right.
And so there's, you know, but to try to explain that to a Social Security worker, well, he can't even tell you if he's sick right. or he can't tell you what's wrong with him. He's not in touch with his body. And when he has seizures, there are things that cause the seizures. And right. so I have to say all this in front of him. I have to say he can't make a good phone call. If there was an emergency, he wouldn't know what to do. He would give anybody his money. If a stranger came up and said, I need $20, Mike would give it to him. And Mike will say, no, I wouldn't, but he would.
Yeah.
And you have to say all these things that are negative about your child in front of them.
It feels very demoralizing.
It is.
And you're not trying to demoralize. You're his advocate. Yeah. You're his parent. You love him.
So one thing I use to explain it, I say, Mike, we have to say the worst case scenario. Because, yes, if everything's perfect, you could make an emergency phone call. If everything was perfect and it really wasn't an emergency, you could dial the number. Because
yeah.
that's what they'll say. Well, can he dial the number? Yes, he could dial that number. But in emergency, he's freaking out.
Yeah.
He may even go into a seizure. He gets upset. So you have to use the worst case scenario when you're dealing with these government agencies.
Yeah.
Because otherwise they're
we've they seen it firsthand. I've experienced yeah. it firsthand over the years, and as have you, you live it.
Mm-hmm.
So you know. Yes.
Yeah. So I just tell parents, prepare your kids that you have to say some things that they might not like to hear, and you can explain it after your meeting. You can explain why you say those things. But you have to give worst case scenario, or you don't have the emergencies covered that you need covered.
Right. I know another area that you're heavily involved in is, you know, bringing the parents together, and you put on a lot of events.
I did.
Like
I used
any
to.
Event that Carly Murdy's got going on, everyone's showing up to. But I know that you face some hurdles and adversity there too, because you really go all out for
yeah.
everybody, for
yeah.
all the families, and
yes,
everybody that knows you knows that. What are some of the hurdles and adversity that you face? You know, being the person pulling all the things together.
Yeah. Well, for one thing, people appreciate it. Some, they tell you they appreciate it, but it's hard to get assistance. So I like having parent groups. I think parents do need to support each other and do things. And when we started our integrative neighborhoods, we did a lot of fundraising. So we would have all these events to raise money to support the new venture we were doing. And parents just did not want to participate too much. Like, I like to do fundraisers that don't cost money.
Yeah.
I do a yard sale, a neighborhood yard sale. I do a car wash. I do stuff that you can just have to be there and make money.
Bring right? community together.
Yes.
And community integration.
And by the way, if you ever do a car wash for a fundraiser, never put a price on it, because we just would tell people we're taking donations, and we got more 20s and 10s than you can
beautiful.
Shake a stick at, all because we didn't say it's $2. People wanted me to say, tell them it's $3, or tell them, no, I said a donation.
Yeah.
Some people gave us $2. that's okay. But most people saw our community washing cars and gave donations.
Beautiful, smart lady.
But to try to get parents to help me. So here's me, an old lady, running around trying to make sure there's soap and buckets and the kids are washing cars. We still want them to do a good job, right? I want the car still clean.
Yeah, of course.
And other parents just would sit around and watch, or they would come back later, drop the kids off, come back. And it takes more than one or two parents.
Yeah.
And I like to have events where when I do a fundraiser, it's for everybody. I'm not doing it for Mike. I'm doing it for all the parents, for all the families, to help them get started or get moving.
And you're a well-oiled machine, but even us well-oiled machines get burned out.
Yes.
And you need participation.
Yes.
You need help. That's important. And
Now
you also touched on integrated living.
Yeah.
Like the integrated living situations that you were putting together.
Yes,
integrated neighborhoods.
It's called the Integrative Neighborhoods of Oakland County.
Yeah. Talk a little bit about
that. And there's
a
website on that. But right now we wanted to grow it. We started with one pod. So we had six or seven young adults who were renting. We had them rent apartments in the same complex, and their caregivers came, and they did, you know, still had their regular life there. But we raised money to hire a community builder. So we hired a person to live there for free. They still had their regular job, but they lived there for free, and they were our 24/7. So if there was an emergency at night or on a weekend.
So kind of like a resident advisor at a college.
Yeah.
Like in a dorm.
Perfect.
Yes.
Yeah, perfect. So it was like that. So we raised money for that. And then we thought, once we get one pod going, because the location is important for our kids, because the parents want them nearby. They don't want them real far away. So we thought, okay, well, we got this pod. It's in Farmington Hills. Let's start another one in Bloomfield. Let's start one here. Let's start one there. But again, people don't want to put in that initial work. It runs by itself now. And in fact, JARC has taken it over now. They oversee it and run it.
Beautiful.
But we wanted to do pods in different areas in Oakland County. But again, it takes a lot of work initially. Once you get that initial work done, parents just wanted to come. We had a lot of interest, and just drop their child off and not have to deal with anything. And it's like, no, this isn't how it works. There's no agency that's going to do that. There's nobody that's going to do that. So it was hard. It's still hard to get people to do it. And while I'm on that subject, though, let me bring up one other thing. And that's the age of when you should start looking at getting your child out of your house. For one thing, being a parent is very different than being a caregiver. Like, I was Mike's parent and caregiver while he lived at home, and it was destroying our relationship. It was hurting us. Mike could not get independent. Everything he did, he looked at the eyes of, you're my mom, you're telling me what to do. But we're a caregiver. You'd come and take him places, and you were, you know, king.
The cool guy, right?
Yeah, the cool guy, because you weren't his parent. So you have to think about that. And so many parents wait till the last minute to make arrangements for their child. And I'm very fortunate that we did this for Mike. I wanted to make sure, here was my philosophy. I wanted to be here to make sure his transition was good. I didn't want him to suffer. We knew kids whose parents died suddenly, and bam, they're thrown from living with their parents to a completely strange situation.
And no understanding of how the structure works once you're part of the system. Mm-hmm.
Even their families didn't know.
Yeah.
You've gotta find a place for your adult children before they need it. If you wait till they need it, it's too late. And so Mike's been on his own now, you know, 8 years or so. And we still have struggles, and I still take him to a lot of doctor appointments. But somebody else is caring for him. Now I just get to be the mom. And it's so much nicer and so much easier. And now somebody else takes him. He's growing. He's doing more things. He's really learning a lot. Now, he still has disabilities, which means he can't do everything. But he's learning. He's functioning now so well.
And you're so blessed to have each other, too, because I love the dynamic in between the two of you and Bob, your husband, Bob, Mike's dad. And it's such a great family and so beautiful to watch you guys in action. But you also helped Mike manage his business, too.
I'm his momager.
Yes.
I'm his momager.
I loved it. It was so cool to watch you advocate for your boy and everybody else's sons and daughters, too, at the same time. I've never met anybody like you.
Yeah.
So
thank you.
It's amazing.
We enjoy it.
Yeah.
But now he has agreed now he has to get somebody else because I can't do the roadie part.
Right.
I'm like, Mike, I'm getting old. I can't lift the speakers.
I was his roadie for a bit.
It's like, I can't do the roadie part anymore. So he's got to get a roadie. But now he's on to different things. Like, he's producing music and doing all that stuff.
That's so. What I love about Mike, yeah. too, is when I remember Mike met my folks.
Oh, you've met my folks, too, because they're down
in Florida Bayou. But yeah, when Mike first met my folks, Mike was living in a condo.
Okay.
And so he was living in a condo with his, at the time, fiance. And my folks, I remember my dad's reaction to meeting Mike. And my father was like, well, what exactly do you do for him? Because he's so high functioning, like they didn't get it.
Yeah.
And so, Mike can produce an album. Mike is a DJ. Mike knows how to use all this high tech equipment. But like you said, the managing money and doing the other things, sometimes the activities of daily living are a burden for Mike. And he just doesn't.
Yeah.
Have...
People get surprised.
Yeah. Yes.
I've had people tell me, your son's a genius. I'm like, huh? What?
You know all the facets.
I don't see that part.
Right. Yeah. And so, but everybody is built differently and everybody, it's so important for people to understand, not to judge a book by its cover. And this is why, we have advocates, because I felt like with the group of folks I was working with when I started Third Circle, it was like the invisible disability, because everybody had these unique diagnoses, and everyone was so beautiful and smart in their own way, but everyone was built different. And oftentimes when they would try to integrate with the community, people didn't understand them. And so it was so
cool.
No, when
Mike lived in the apartment.
Right.
His neighbors, some two grown men, like they were young 20s, wanted to fight him. They wanted to kick his ass because they said he was looking at them weird. And what's wrong with you? And they were going to go over and like fight him. I'm like, no. He don't know what he's looking at. He's just observing.
He
guess he stared too long and they didn't like it. What are you looking at? And he got scared and he was afraid. And then he wasn't going to talk to anybody. But to explain it, my Mike, if you think about it, is a typical 12 to 13-year-old. So they think they know it all. They think they're smarter than everybody else. And they want to try stuff, but they don't really have all the information. And they can't really do it. So he wants to eat. He would eat ice cream for every meal.
Yes.
He would give away all his money. He would or spend it on I don't know what. And he doesn't know how to be safe, and he doesn't know, a typical 12.
He needs structure, right? Structure and guidance, and that's where the direct support professionals come in, and they help. Where Mike is very independent, he just needs prompting.
Yeah,
and so
still doesn't brush his teeth.
Right.
36. No, can't cut his toenails. No.
Got to have the prompting, though.
Yeah,
And I'm sure even though he has the direct support professionals and that guidance, you're still probably sending him a text
every night. My husband texts him every night, brush your teeth, Mike. And he still doesn't. And a lot of times, sometimes the staff has to say he refused to brush him. And he's got gingivitis now.
Yeah.
I mean, so all this stuff ties into his health and what's good or bad for him. And we're still a big part of it, but...
Yes, and Bob's a gem. I love Bob. Bob's a huge advocate with the Special Olympics also.
Yeah, he coaches and he's a chaperone up at state games and
stuff. You guys faced a little bit of adversity with, not a little bit, a lot, during COVID with Special Olympics because, you were really trying to keep the group together. Mm-hmm. Talk a little bit about
that. Because we couldn't, at that time, you didn't... People weren't getting together. Right. Events were canceled. So our community, what we did, our Special Olympics team, we raised money. And every month we went and gave each of the kids a basket of goodies. We would give them snacks. We gave them certificates to movies. We give them socks. A lot of times we get them new tennis shoes for some of the kids who aren't as fortunate. But we tried to stay in touch with everybody and keep the community going, keeping the communication going. Because a lot of them aren't good on the phone or email or texting. So we would actually drop off stuff and try to get them to go to a movie together or once they could. But for a while they couldn't even do that. So we tried to keep that going even when Special Olympics wasn't going.
Yeah. It was so challenging during that time for individuals to get together and connect. Yeah. And a lot of times it was not the individuals that were not willing to participate, but it was the parents too. Mm-hmm. So you have to factor in all the people,
some parents were worried.
It's tough. You've had your work cut out for you all these years.
Some of it.
Yeah, but you've done so many great things. What are some other initiatives that you've put together? Because you've put together so many.
Well, we do our New Year's Eve. I'll tell about our New Year's Eve get together, which used to be on New Year's Eve. Now it's not. Now it's the Sunday before. But we do it for the community. So it's an open invite for anybody that prepays. We have a DJ. You won't guess who that is. DJ Meister, DJs. So we have bowling, we have a catered dinner, we have dancing, and it's just a great time for people to meet each other. We have so many romances start at these things, sometimes two and three times in the same night.
Yes.
Break up and get with somebody else. And it's just such a fun event, and it's kind of wholesome for the family. It is for adults. We don't we don't invite children, but it is for adults and families, and you can find it on Facebook. But it's just a great event.
Yeah.
And kids get together and parents. Now, one thing we're struggling with, I've been doing that since 2009, and it's grown from a group of about 12 kids originally to right now, last year we had 80. And it's so nice to do, but it's getting hard now because we don't have a lot of help. Everything's volunteers.
Yeah.
And we have to pay for everything.
Right.
So it's a little bit, even this year, it's going to be our most expensive ever. But I put on,
because it gets bigger and better every year.
But I put on the flyer, we're having a bowling event, a beautiful sit-down catered dinner, and dancing to a DJ all night. So there's three events, and you're getting all three in one night.
That's beautiful, yeah.
It's a little, but we got to pay now.
Yeah.
And but we could use help. Like sometimes a lot of parents come and they just sit there with their kids. Just if you could pour pop for 20 minutes, what a help that would be.
Right.
So it's getting to be, it might not even be feasible after a while.
Where can volunteers sign up? Is there?
Well, on the flyer, once the flyer gets out, it has a phone number.
Okay, perfect.
And again, there's little things like with our community, our group of kids, there's so many issues that come up. Somebody spills something or somebody needs some help with something. One child doesn't eat this, one child. So we need sometimes just parents to step in and for 10 minutes, just be a helper.
Just be available.
Just be available and just say, oh, here, let me help you get a drink of water. Or no, those aren't your shoes. Those are somebody else's shoes.
Right.
When they change your bowling shoes and put somebody else's on.
Right. So we've seen it all.
Yeah, little things like that. So it's just nice if parents help out.
Yeah, I love that.
Yeah. And sometimes people think, well, you have to be best friends, or a lot of times even parents. The kids might get along, but parents might have issues with each other.
Yes.
And so it takes strong people to make those living situations work. When our kids go into these managed homes or group homes, it just takes strong people.
Yeah.
And so there are resources out there. There's checklists and charts and everything you can get on how to be a good roommate or what are some boundaries you can set. And as far as the parents, I found out in our situation now, we just sort of stay out of it, which is nice.
Yeah.
Like if our children get into something or have an issue, the caregivers work it through. And both of the children and the adults in our situation work it out.
Yeah.
And that is how they learn. And so I talk to Mike all the time that you have the best situation because you're two single guys living together but living separately. You both live your own lives, but you live in the same house, and you're the best roommate you can have.
Yeah, this is a great topic.
You
because
never get a
when
better one.
When folks are looking for roommates to live in a residential setting like that, Mike and have history together, so that was a blessing, and they know how to come together and have a house meeting and like solve their differences. They've come so far, both men.
Yeah.
So that's great. But like for anybody listening that's looking for a living situation, looking to make the transition, important factors to think of are the parents a good fit too?
Mm-hmm.
Because you have the blessing of mother, and you guys get along wonderfully. So that's,
well, we're not like best friends or anything,
but you understand how to communicate.
Exactly.
Very clear communication. Mm-hmm. You don't even have to know each other, and
right.
Mike and don't have to be best friends.
Right.
And so both men like to be independent of each other.
Mm-hmm.
They don't have to eat dinner together if
right.
they don't want
to. And they
to.
Never do.
Right.
They?
No,
they totally both live separate lives
totally.
And together in the same house, but they respect each other. And that's why it's so important too to have good staff, and then staff manages it.
Yeah.
They have to figure it out.
And some programs, some houses like to have a family style unit.
Yeah, yeah.
Worth, like, say, the one of the 24-hour in-home care programs that I started up was with three girls. And they very much like to dine together, family style and all those things. And if that happens, that's great.
I like that.
But that's not forced on anybody because it's self-determination and they're leading their own independent lives.
I like that. I wish Mike would actually do that because he'd eat better, I think. But instead of getting the ice cream out and all the chips.
Yeah, but I've cooked with Mike before. Mike knows how to man the stove and make some meals. But when he wants to, you know what I mean? It's like, you need prompting and you got to encourage.
And again, he can do that stuff with help. Because I don't want people to, like, he literally can't.
Yes. He can't do it on his own. He needs the right guidance. You're doing it with him. And you know, we can't have the house burning down.
Right. No. You know, he'll leave the stove on. Mom, I didn't leave it on. You must have left it on. I say, no, we left the stove on.
Right, exactly.
Anyway, that's all it is. Yeah, no, I've really enjoyed this. It's been so good. We need to get
you a YouTube channel, Carly,
not at all.
You have so much wisdom as far as advocacy goes. And like I said, you're such a pioneer. And I mean, this... You've been doing this for
decades. I'll be a guest anytime you want.
Well, you're definitely going to be a repeat guest for sure. We should have a panel.
Because even if you have, panels are good. But to get more parents, we just have to get parents to think that nobody's going to do it for you. And it is a little bit of hard work. But look, it's all paid off now. It's so good. Mike's in such a good place. I can go to my grave knowing that he's okay.
Yeah, and you're living in Florida, you know,
part of the year. 6 months I'm in Florida.
Yeah.
And so he's got to be in a... way here. But it is good. It's a good transition. And now when something does happen to me or Bob.
You have your own independence. You and Bob are living your life. You're in Florida. You're having a good time. You still check in with Mike and then you're here in the summertime. That's beautiful. It's ideal.
Yeah.
You literally are the blueprint for
parents. Oh, that's so good.
So I think it's fantastic. And I definitely want to have you back in the studio more often and getting more parents involved because I've met so many parents over the last few years.
I've met a lot of neat people through you.
And I've met so many people over the last few years that are in the exact situation that you're talking about. They haven't taken the leap to look for the living situation for their son or their daughter, and they're aging and they're medical issues are coming up for everybody involved. And so it's important.
And a lot of people think, oh, well, their brother will take care of them or their sister will take it. That's a lot to put on a sibling. It just really is. And I did not want to do that to my girls. My girls will always be there for Mike, his sisters, but it wasn't their place to be his caregiver. And so
those are important topics to talk about too, because not everyone's thinking. They're just sometimes inclined to think or assuming. And these are not good things. No. We want to make sure that our loved ones have full support and then you guys have your own independence too.
Good.
So you guys can communicate.
Yeah, perfect. Yeah. Well, thank you. I've so enjoyed spending time with you. This is like a pleasure to just be with you.
Full circle moment.
It is.
Yes.
It really is. Well, thank you very much.
Well, Carly, it's been such a pleasure having you in the studio today. Where can people find you if they want to reach out to volunteer or ask?
Oh, I'd love
questions?
It if they can use my email, which is my name, carlymurdy@gmail.com.
Perfect.
And I'd be happy to help or guide or give you any assistance I could.
Amazing. Well, thank you so much for coming into the studio today. Can't wait to have you back.
I can't. Oh, well, thank you. I'd love to come back. This was good.
Fantastic.
It was fun.
The amazing Carly Murdy.
Thank you.
That's a wrap.